This is Matt Kubler with Max Out Strength Studio Franchise, and you're listening to Social Geek Radio.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Minolto Social Media Management. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Munson.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio. This is Deb Evans coming to you live from the Deb Evans Consulting Office / Social Geek Radio Studio.
Very nice. And Jack Munson from Chicago in the Minolto Inc. / Social Geek Radio North Studios. How are you doing today, Deb?
I'm doing well. And, you know, you mentioned the north, and it's feeling a little northy here in Texas today. But that's good because, you know, this 85-degree weather in January has got to go. So I'm willing to jacket on, but, you know, no scarves and gloves and all that.
Wow. Yikes. Well, we'll get everybody warmed up with a little geek it out. How about that?
We have a geek it out. So it's a new year, and I'm sure everybody's trying to organize, and they've got resolutions, you know, all that fun stuff that we do every year, and we forget about, you know, week two or week three. But one of the things that I'm going to do more of is use my Evernote app. You know, I'm an avid note taker when I go to conferences and conventions, and most of my note taking is in 140 characters because I like to tweet it. But I'm going to be using the Evernote. One of the things I discovered today after listening to another podcast is the app called, it's an Evernote scannable app. So it pairs with Evernote, and you can, you know, let's get rid of that paper. Though even if you are a paper user and if you're sitting at a conference or a meeting and you're taking notes and they're in paper, you can now scan that paper and multiple pages, and it can go into your Evernote app so that you can search it and find it later instead of saying, what notebook or what sticky note did I put this note in? You know, if you take that note, scan it, get it in your Evernote, then you have it for access later. And of course, business cards. You know, if you collect your business card collector, which I have a whole desk full. If you scan those, it goes into your Evernote. So all of this is, you know, helping you organize and design your work to be a little bit more efficient and keep it in Evernote. So
very good. And you're going to be impressed. You actually pulled up an app that I've already used. I checked out the scannable function of Evernote, which I've been a big fan of Evernote for years.
Yeah.
At the Media Tech Summit in Vegas a couple of months ago, I used the scannable portion of it, just as you said, for business cards, and it was fantastic. You just take a picture of someone's business card, and somehow, I call it magic, it takes the name, the phone number, the email address, even the Twitter handle of someone's business card, and pulls it in and formats it all correctly in Evernote for you. So then you can take that and forward it on to if you're using Salesforce or some other CRM system. So great pick this week.
Awesome. Very good. So we are both going to be very productive in 2016.
Yeah. So I would say anybody who's using Evernote, or if you're not using Evernote, start using it. It's a fantastic free program. If you are an Evernote user, check out this scannable function, especially if you've got conferences coming up. We've got the IFA convention coming up in just about a month. Lots of other conventions and conferences coming up the first half of this year. Check it out, especially for that business card function.
Very good. So we have, we've got Geek It Out of the way. You mentioned IFA convention. We've got a great guest with us this week that's been in franchising for a while. You want to go ahead and introduce him?
Absolutely. The CEO of College Hunks Hauling Junk and College Hunks Moving. It's Mr. Omar Solomon. How you doing, Omar?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Very nice. It's exciting to be able to talk to you and see you in a few weeks. So we were talking just before we went live, and I was telling, you know, Jack, I said, wow, you know, we've got a TV star personality here with us tonight. You know, you've done your fair share of television appearances. Of course, you did Shark Tank, which was pretty cool. And another one that I think is fun is the Jobs That Don't Suck. You did that one. And then there's a few that I see listed here on the web that I have to go back and see if I can find a clip for. AMC's The Pitch and Bravo's Millionaire Matchmaker. And geez, you're out there. Is there one that I've missed, or was there one that you really liked the most?
Yeah, you know, the one that was probably the most exciting was the Shark Tank. We were on the very first episode. So this was before Shark Tank was, you know, a popular show like it is now. I was telling people that I was going on a TV show called Shark Tank, and they thought it was like a Discovery Channel swimming with sharks type thing. I was like, no, it's a business thing, I swear. And it was really cool because we didn't know what to expect. We'd never obviously seen the show because of the very first episode, and it was just an awesome experience. And so that's probably the one that, you know, I'll always remember. And it was really the first kind of national exposure that we got as a brand, and really put us on the map. So it was great.
Well, and then with that national exposure, I have to say, you know, I watched it live then, years ago, and then I rewatched it again yesterday, and Mr. Wonderful was really kind of nasty. I mean, like the fact he's not one of my fave anyway, and so yeah, I said that publicly, but I was just really offended by him and how he treated you.
Yeah, you know, he's the Simon Cowell of the group, and that's what makes for great TV. He called us pigs. He said that the offer that we came back with was way too high. So kind of to give a quick backstory, we went on the show pitching kind of a sister concept that we never actually started. It was called College Foxes Packing Boxes. And as we were pitching it, the Sharks found out that we had a successful business that was already up and running. So they wanted to get a piece of both businesses. They didn't want to just invest in one.
You
know, we didn't go on the show expecting to sell off our existing business, but that's kind of the curveball that we got thrown into. So they said, hey, give us a valuation. We made a valuation, and Mr. Wonderful went off the deep end and said, oh, you guys are crazy with that. You guys are pigs, blah, blah, blah. And then my business partner, Nick, actually told him to stop talking. So there was a little bit of a good.
That means you're going to stop talking now, doesn't it?
Right, yeah.
Exactly. No, that's
that
some
means
great.
You stop talking now. So.
It was great TV. And I think what it shows, too, is that any of your prospects today, you know, want to know who is Omar and who is Nick, it's not a bad thing to have that out there because you guys stood your ground. You were very confident in what you had, and you weren't willing to give away a piece of that pie. And they didn't just want a piece of it. They wanted a big chunk of it. So good for you. Just kudos. I was very impressed then, and I'm just equally impressed with what you've done with College Hunks since then. So congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Omar, give us the backstory. How did you guys get together? How did you start College Hunks?
Sure. So Nick and I grew up in Washington, D.C. We actually went to high school together. So we've known each other since we were 15. We went to college in complete opposite parts of the country. He was in Pomona College in California. I was at University of Miami in Florida. But every summer we would head back home to D.C. for summer break. And that's where we're living back home with our parents. The summer before our senior year, you know, my mom kind of gave me the ultimatum. She said, you better get a job. You're not going to be sitting around here playing video games all day and doing nothing, because that's kind of what I was planning on doing. You know, I didn't want to get kind of I'd done all the typical jobs that college students do, you know, waiting tables, working at the mall. I wanted to do something different. My mom has a furniture store in D.C., and she had this beat-up cargo van that we would use for deliveries. So I asked her, hey, can I borrow this van and just do some odd jobs around the neighborhood, like haul away people's junk from their garage? And she said, hey, if it gets you out of the house, I'm for it. So invited my buddies over for dinner. We were kind of trying to come up with some funny names that we could call the business and put up some computer flyers. You know, after about two or three beers, we started to get a little bit more creative, and that's kind of where College Hunks Hauling Junk came from. We put it on these computer printout flyers, put it around the neighborhood. And 6 o'clock that night, our cell phone started ringing, and we were in business.
Very good. Well, you, College Hunks themselves, were actually, my son was a client of yours. He's stationed outside of MacDill Air Force Base, and I said he was moving from his the base to a home. It's like, I know who you need to call. So
great.
So first hand service. He called you guys, and yeah.
So we started out just doing junk removal, and that was in 2005. We bought a truck, kind of invested all the money we had. This was after college, and things were going great. We started up in DC. We went from one truck to 8 trucks. Started doing over $1 million in annual revenue up there. That's when we had said, "Hey, I think we got something here. Let's start franchising." Started franchising. Really, everything started to catch wind and getting a lot of traction. And then, right then, the economy bottomed out, and we were in the middle of the recession. So, it really was probably our lowest point as a company, but it also was one of our biggest opportunities because it forced us to think differently, act differently. It forced us to diversify. And from that, we actually added moving services. So originally, we just did junk hauling, right. But we wanted to kind of diversify our services. We added moving. And so now we do both, moving and junk removal. Moving is almost 50% of our revenue now. And really, our goal is we want to be a one-stop shop for anybody that's going through a life-changing event, whether they're downsizing, moving, decluttering, whatever it is, we want to be able to come in. We can pack you, declutter you, move you, haul your stuff to Goodwill, and kind of do everything within the home for you. So that's the evolution of our brand, and it's kind of great to see it finally gain that traction and keep growing.
How many franchisees do you have now?
We are at currently we're at about 72 franchises across the country.
Yeah, we saw an article in the Open Forum about your increased conversion rates, and you said it was due to the state-of-the-art call center. Tell us about this state-of-the-art call center.
Sure. So part of our business model is we have a call center that's essentially the first point of contact for our franchise owners. So if you see our truck in San Francisco or in Orlando and you call that 800 number on the truck, you're getting routed to the same place, and that's our call center here in Tampa. And really, it's great because 9 out of 10 service business don't even answer the phone. So if you're calling a plumber or a carpet cleaning company, it seems like a really basic, obvious thing to pick up the phone, but when you're dealing with a lot of mom-and-pop service companies, they're not even answering the phone. So it's not even a table stake. So being able to answer the phone in one or two rings, deliver great service, capture that client, has been a huge competitive advantage that we have over the competition, and we're able to standardize everything. We're able to systemize it. We're able to have a great transparency into what's going on in the field with our franchise owners, and so that's been a huge driver in conversions for us.
And how are you tracking all of that activity? Is it through the call center, or are you also tracking things that each franchise location is doing, and how are you monitoring all of this data?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a little bit of both. So we have proprietary software that we've developed that all the franchise owners use. It's web-based software, so a franchisee can log in, see their truck schedule, see how many calls they're getting, see how many booked jobs they have. They can pull KPIs like average job size and in-zone revenue and all that stuff. And then we have our call center software that's tracking how many calls are coming in, what type of calls are coming in, and we kind of blend the two pieces of software together, and that's how we're able to track things like what's our booking percentage, what's our cancellation rate, what's our peak call volumes throughout the day, what's our abandon rate, how many people are calling in that aren't actually, speaking to a live person. So all these metrics are being displayed through the software that we have. And, obviously we're hyper-focused on those metrics and those KPIs. And so it's a combination of the proprietary software that we've developed and some off-the-shelf call center software that we have as well.
That's a pretty far cry from borrowing your mom's van to go around the neighborhood and do some odd jobs just to get you out of the house. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's funny. We tell the story of when we first started out, we were driving the truck around. The 800 number on the truck would actually route to our cell phone. So we would be driving the truck, fielding calls from customers. Obviously, that's probably not a safe thing to do. So our truck would be swerving a little bit on the road, and then people would call to complain about our driving. little did they know they were talking to the driver of the truck. So we joke, you know, we joke around that we probably fired ourselves 4 or 5 times the first year. But yes, we think a far cry from where we first started.
That's okay, ma'am. I'm going to have a talk with that driver right away.
Yeah.
But hey, I got to tell you, that's a great idea. You know, even just having one truck, two guys, and one 800 number, it suddenly positioned you as being some sort of national outfit, right?
Yeah, you know, that's another great point. You know, it's funny because when we started out, we just had one truck, but people would, you know, the truck was branded. It had bright orange and green colors on it. It really stood out. And folks would come up to us and we just had one truck and they would be like, oh, yeah, that's a national company, right? Or that's a franchise, right? So, you know, from the very beginning, I think our brand has always been bigger than we actually are. And we're finally now starting to actually catch up to our brand, if that makes sense. People have always thought of it as being this national company, a franchise, and now we're finally filling those shoes. But yeah, from the very beginning, it was something that conveyed that for whatever reason.
And now you're doing that on social media too. You've got lots of campaigns and activity happening on Facebook and other places. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, the Facebook marketing has evolved so much even in the past two years. It's amazing what you can do on Facebook and some of the other social media channels, from, you know, really hyper targeting your demographic of clients. So, I mean, you know, we know exactly who uses our service. Well, now we can go find those people on Facebook, right? We can upload our past clients to Facebook and find those people. So we're able to connect with the tens and tens of thousands of people that have used our brand before and the hundreds of thousands of people that fit that demographic of the people that tend to use our brand. So it's becoming a bigger and bigger tool in our tool shed. And so there's a lot of cool things we do, from like a hunk of the year voting, where the different team members from across the country submit videos and people can vote on their favorite hunk mover or hunk junk hauler guy or gal. You know, there's a lot of cool stuff that we're doing with the different charities that we're a part of. The different franchise owners are able to share content in their local market. So it's becoming a bigger and bigger part of our business model for sure.
Well, you guys have done an exceptional job. We talked about the TV, exposure earlier, and then your community reach and your social media. One of the other things I found online is, didn't you just throw out the first pitch for a baseball game earlier this year?
I did. I get to finally, you know, that was something on my bucket list as a kid. I grew up playing baseball. I was a big baseball fan as a kid. And it was actually Nick, my business partner, was at a silent auction, and he knew how much I loved baseball. And I grew up I grew up in D.C., but for whatever reason, I was a Red Sox fan. So hopefully no one holds that against me. But the Tampa Bay Rays were playing the Boston Red Sox. Nick gave it to me as a gift, and I kind of got to fulfill a life dream and throw out the first pitch. And it was also really cool because they had my son was invited onto the field, and he was actually the play ball kid. So he got to actually kick the game off as saying play ball. And so it was a surreal, awesome experience.
Very cool. You guys have done an exceptional job with the branding. You talked about it earlier, the green and the orange. I mean, I see your vans. When you sold, or your local franchisee here in the Tomball Woodlands, Texas area moved in, you know, one of the things I saw was the signage along the corner saying, "We're coming, we're coming, we're coming." And then I saw, "We're here, we're here, we're here." And when I drive by the location off of Route 249, it's like, you can't miss those trucks. You just see them. You can't. And when you guys attend IFA, you can't miss those green shirts. I mean, I know exactly who you are and what you represent.
Yeah, you really can't. There's a great book by Seth Godin called Purple Cow, and the theme of the book is basically, you know, standing out in a crowded landscape. And he uses the story of, if you're driving down a farm road and you look to your left and right, you see nothing but brown cows, you're probably not going to look twice, right? But then if you're driving and you see a purple cow amongst a whole lot of brown cows, you're probably going to slam your brakes and look at it and take a photo. And, you know, that's really what our brand is. Our brand is a purple cow. Folks will, you know, take photos of our truck and put it on Instagram and Facebook. You know, they're not doing that with, John's Plumbing or you know, Stanley Steamer or some of these other service level businesses. Mm-hmm. So we're you know, very much a viral brand in the sense that people talk about it, they share it, you know, some dinner table conversation. I saw a truck today that was orange and green that said College Hunks Hauling Junk. So, you know, there's a ton of sizzle that our brand has, and we also want to ensure and do, you know, make sure we will have the stake behind it, and the stake is really the customer experience and the customer service. And when you look at our net promoter score, you know, we have a net promoter score that's on the same par as Starbucks and Apple and Disney, and that's not something that you typically see from a moving and hauling company. And the reviews that customers will leave us will say, hey, this was like a Disney-like experience, and Disney and moving are two words that really should not be used in the same sentence. But that really goes to show how committed our franchise owners are and our frontline employees are to delivering a great client experience. You know, our company purpose is to move the world. So really what we want to do is move people emotionally, not just their stuff, move people through a positive experience. And, you know, we've taken a really simple business, you know, we're trucks and labor, put a fresh spin on it and just focused on the basics of, you know, delighting a client. And, you know, when I talk to young people all over the country, I tell them, you know, you don't need to create the next Facebook or invent the next Google. You know, you can take simple business concepts and apply some new thinking, and you can really do some really cool things. And I think that's why our brand has been so relatable to everyone, but especially to young folks. I think young folks really relate to our brand. They get excited about it because we're not Facebook. We're not Google. We took a blue-collar business and put a fresh spin on it. And that's really, I think that's the American dream. And so that's just been a great kind of way to relate to young folks across the country.
That's fantastic. Absolutely. Thanks so much, Omar. This is Social Geek Radio, and tonight's guest is Omar Solomon, CEO of College Hunks. In the few minutes we have left, Omar, tell us any big projects or any big plans or anything new happening with College Hunks coming up.
Oh, wow. We got a lot of stuff coming up. We're continually to add franchises. So we're projecting to surpass 100 franchises this year. Our three-year vision is we want to be at $100 million in system-wide revenue with 150 franchises. And having that national footprint is going to allow us to really start to go after some bigger national accounts and really leverage the trucks and boots on the ground across the country. I mean, I think the biggest opportunity is obviously when you look across the entire landscape is technology. I mean, you see what Uber has done to the taxi cab industry, and you know, we kind of ask ourselves, well, why can't we do that to the moving and hauling industry? And so, you know, we have a tremendous competitive advantage that we have these hundreds and hundreds of trucks across the country. Well, you know, why don't we start to really think about them and Uberize them, for lack of a better word, so that, you know, that on-demand client need, hey, I'm at home, I can push a button, I can get a price, I can schedule my truck, I can see the GPS of the truck. So there's, you know, a lot of technology stuff that we're doing, a lot that we're doing in terms of just improving our internal systems and resources. And then, you know, we're always, you know, big PR junkies, so we're always looking for the next TV show to get our brand out in front of. We joke around and say our trucks have been on more TV shows than the Kardashians. So we're no stranger to kind of getting those trucks on television. We'll do it any way possible.
That's fantastic. And if anybody has any further questions for you, or they want to find out a little bit more about College Hunks, what's the best way for them to reach out or get some more info?
Sure. So my Twitter, it's real simple. It's Omar Junkman, J-U-N-K, man. My LinkedIn, also Omar Solomon, S-O-L-I-M-A-N. Those are really the two best ways to reach me. I'm pretty good at responding to tweets and responding to my LinkedIn messages as well.
All right. At Omar Junkman. Love it.
Yeah.
All right. Omar, thanks so much for joining us tonight on Social Geek Radio. We look forward to seeing you soon, and we'll talk to you then.